Anything said in this podcast is our opinion, and while our aim is to explore the weird and wonderful world of humans in a non-judgmental way, we apologize if we don't always achieve this perfectly. It goes without saying that this podcast is for entertainment purposes and should not be taken as medical fact or in lieu of professional advice. Enjoy the show. Hello, I'm Emma.
And I'm Danny.
And welcome to our podcast, What's Not Wrong With Us?
Well, we will share our interest in the human experience, from people who like to lick paint to those who like the smell of their own farts and everything in between, but most importantly, what's not wrong with us?
Are there times when you feel out on your own, afraid that you're the only one? Something strange, something unique. Is it you?
Is it me?
Well, we're here to tell you what's not wrong with you. What's not wrong with us?
I enjoy this new method where I get surprised by the weird thing you say.
I enjoy the idea of, like, what's wrong with us, but not wrong with us, but I can say in a way that's safe to say.
Well, the smell of their own farts thing, I think a lot of people can identify with that. Mm-hmm. The licking paint, now, okay, it's unusual,
yes,
right? But when I was pregnant with my second child,
I thought this is where you're going to go. Yeah,
I was compelled to chew sponges, bathroom sponges. I wanted to eat them, I wanted to chew them, consume them. And the need got so great that I got some clean makeup sponges from the chemist, so they knew that they were perfectly clean, they hadn't been used for anything. Cut them up and put them in a bowl with some orange juice and ice, which both of which I was also obsessed with, and sort of ate it like soup, then chewed the sponge, and then took it out of my mouth again.
I'm intrigued about the threshold, the watershed moment, if you will, where you went from, this is a thing for applying makeup, to, I want to put it in my mouth.
I think it's not, every time I bring this up, some people go, oh yeah, I get that, I would want to chew a sponge. Did you ever do that, like suck a face cloth or chew a sponge when you were a kid in the bath?
I was always too afraid of the fibres getting, like, you know, inhaling them or ingesting them and then okay, creating a knot in my intestines that I would then have to, like, pass at some point in the
overthinking
future. Overthinking.
But so I did that. I used to, like, chew on the face cloth when I was a kid. And I don't think it's unrelated to, like, your gums being a bit irritated.
Mm.
But you crave weird stuff. Like, I was obsessed with the smell of, like, lemon bleach and other strong lemon cleaning products. I like that a lot. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it is on the unusual side of the human experience.
In the same line as on pregnancy cravings, Mum, whenever she was pregnant with me, she tells a story quite a lot. Like, it's a great little adage of things that she used to do. She had to get herself to the beach every single night. Now, bear in mind, I'm a July baby as well. So that is all of May, probably April, May, June and July of 1989. Dad was driving to the house, to the beach every day, so she could put her feet into the sea and stand there for 20 minutes, and then they had to immediately go home.
Oh.
And
do you love the sea as a result? Or
I love being by the sea.
Oh.
I don't know if it's
being by the sea too.
Mm-hmm. Some would say it's because, you know, the cancer star sign in me is desperate for the ocean. But
yeah.
Who knows?
Go crabbing sideways into the water.
Awkwardly crabbing everywhere I go.
So just on the topic of What's Not Wrong With Us, which is our podcast.
Yes, yes.
Welcome to it. Since we last recorded,
yes,
right, because just to, so you know, listeners, the podcasting time.
Where is this going?
The timing of podcasts is very strange in that you record a bunch of episodes and then eventually at some point you release the episodes while you're still recording.
Okay.
So I am always interested at the point before you've released the episodes and the point after you've released the episodes. Like, will it change? What do you think? Mm. Now that you've released it, are you like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. So how do you feel since we've released our first three episodes into the world?
I'm relieved. I think more, my big feeling is relief. I think the on the large scale, you know, everyone seems to be responding really well to it. And responding, I think, as well in the way that we hoped they would, seeing it for what it was and seeing the humour and the entertainment aspect and the just general merriment of what we're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was worried a little bit or that it would be missed, that people wouldn't get the kind of the tact that we were trying to go for.
Yeah.
But I think it is being received, and certainly whenever we ask people about it, they're like, oh yeah, no, it makes sense. And it's one of these things whenever you like contrive something in your brain and you're like, especially for me, you work out all the nuances of it and then you think afterwards, God, is this just me? Will anyone else get this in the way that I'm thinking about it? So
totally. And there's still things that we have yet to release that I still wonder about.
Yes.
I will wonder that question. But I did want to read a pre-prepared statement, if that was okay.
Okay.
I actually don't have it written down. I'm deliberately trying to freak them out. So
well achieved.
I mean, the thing is by the time you get to this episode, which is episode 9 that we're recording, I feel like you'll be fully on board with what we're doing.
Mm.
But we have deliberately kept technical and expert stuff out of this.
Right.
I have had to make a big adjustment in doing that,
mm-hmm.
because that's my job is to be an expert in things, and my other podcast was all the technical details, all the psychological background, all the stuff, which, by the way, you have to do research for, because there's new research coming out all the time. And so you have to do your research, you have to make sure you put the arguments down, and you have to make sure that you kind of always put a caveat of, you know, some people believe this, some people believe this, evidence has found this, and, you know, it's all still developing and all that kind of stuff, because you will get people coming out of the woodwork saying, well, you forgot about this theory and that theory and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make it clear at this stage of the game that we are not doing that here.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have had to work very hard on that,
mm-hmm.
and not doing it. So don't worry if you hear us talk about something and we don't like fully explain the theory or the mechanism or whatever behind it, because that's intentional. We just want to have a fun chat and be funny and enjoy ourselves.
Fun non-judgmental chat.
And that's the other thing that I wanted to say post-release is, so we have a little disclaimer. You're probably sick to death hearing it now. We'll probably change it at some point so it doesn't get too boring. But if we have, again, you know, slipped off our non-judgmental horse accidentally, gone side saddle on the non-judgmental horse or whatever it may be, we're trying to avoid that. But it's human nature that we, when we're talking about the more unusual sides of human experience, that we might stray towards sounding like I don't think we're ever being super judgmental, but maybe it might sometimes sound like we're kind of making fun or something like that. And we are really trying to avoid that, or at least soften the blow of that.
Yes. I think we're always trying to keep it light, and we're trying to talk about these things, particularly I think sometimes with like the TikTok and the next door stuff, because it is us just being observational about what's happening in the world around you. And we are two, I like to think, quite witty people. So by nature of that, when we are talking about it, like, it's not like we're putting on a bit. It's just, this is how we converse about whatever it is we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, there may be the little, you know, wry pun or the, you know, little remark about an observation or whatever. There's no hate in it. There's no judgment in it. It's just us kind of trying to observe what we're seeing, and also just sort of trying to talk about it a bit more, just to try and maybe understand, and maybe just to sort of talk about it for the sake of talking about it, because it's fun.
Yeah. And also, I am being really honest. So that means, and you know that in our normal lives off air, when I'm honest, I can sometimes be a bit cutting. Mm. I can say what I mean about things. And when it comes to when we're looking at somebody who's excessively drinking laxatives or whatever, my honest opinion of that is that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why you're doing it. But it's not meant to be judgment or saying that that person is, you know, crazy or nuts or stupid or anything like that. And we are definitely trying to avoid those kind of terms and things. The only other thing to say is I would be aware of experts, because when you do get to a certain level of like expertise in a subject or qualification, what you realise is that you still don't know anything about it. In fact, the mm-hmm. more you learn about something, the more you realise you don't know about things. Mm-hmm. And that is another adjustment that you have to make in life where you're like, oh, I thought when I did the doctorate, I'd be like, oh, I know everything about this now. And of course you don't, because you specialise and specialise and specialise. So you know a lot about a really small thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, enough about a lot of surrounding things. So just beware of experts who tell you, you know, things they think you want to know.
And beware of Google. Dr. Google is not your friend either.
Dr. Google is on my list of things I might talk about sometime.
So, segueing then into our topic of this week, the topic that we're going to look at this week in terms of what's not wrong with us is people who like to do things just so.
Oh, okay.
So this has, in my observations, a lot of layers. There's layers. So there's really kind of benign, nothing layers, like people who make their tea in a very specific, very routine way. And when you ask them, they just do it because that's the way they like to do it. There's no real, you know, proof of betterment. It's very subjective, etc. Mm. And this scales all the way up to odd little idiosyncrasies and scaling all the way up to, I have a thing that I do in a way that is very obstructive to other people, but I can't do it in any other way because I need to do it this way. Otherwise, I just don't feel great about it.
I cannot wait for the examples. Okay. So, like, the minor one might be, you know, making your tea a particular way or something. Making your tea a particular way. Okay.
Or, I mean, because the thing is, this borders into as well people who have just routines, right? This it's sort of a parallel thing I notice where, you know, there's people who are very routine-led individuals and they get up in the day and they have a morning routine and a skincare routine and a breakfast routine and then they go to work and then they come home and they have a, what is your 5 to 9 after your 9 to 5? And they have a routine. And in that, there's a lot of just doing things just so because it's the way you've always done that or it's the way you feel good about doing that. So that's one layer, right? Mm-hmm. And I think everyone can agree that there's a level of that that everyone ascribes to in the functioning world, that there is a level of that where everybody is just involved in some sort of routine of doing just things just so.
Yeah.
Then there is the idiosyncrasy level. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's a couple of ones that I think of for myself that are just like idiosyncratic in terms of the way that things are done.
Okay.
So, for example, I'm thinking particularly with cooking. Like, I cannot be one of these people who will clean as they go when I cook. I have to be, it's all kind of segmented off in parts. So I need to do all of the cutting and then all of the cooking and then all of the gathering together and then all of the cleaning. It's all very like,
because
in my mind, it's all kind of chunked together. I know whenever I've cooked like with my sister, she's like, this is mental and there's stuff everywhere and I don't know how you function in this kitchen. And particularly because my kitchen at my home is a galley kitchen, so it's very narrow. So there's a lot of like, it is a system that moves its way down the track. Uh-huh. In the same way, if I'm doing anything with like doing stuff around the house, it's all of this thing and then all of that thing and then all of that. Because I tend to be a quite like a checklisty sort of person and I like sort of tick everything off. From the outside looking in, however, people would argue that there's maybe a better way to be doing that. There's a more efficient way. There's an objectively better use of time or resource or whatever else. I would vehemently disagree.
Okay, right.
And feel strongly that I would need to do it the way I'm doing it. Otherwise, the sky will fall. And then the level above that then is the one where I don't really know why I do it this way, but it's just if someone tried to change it, I feel would feel very strongly about I do not wish this to be changed in this way.
Well, is the level above that not what we, and I'm going to use air quotes here for mm-hmm. the people at home, what we call a little bit OCD? Is that not what we're doing when we're getting to that level?
Yes, I was actively sort of steering away.
You're trying not to say that?
Only because I think, I don't know, joking aside, I think, you know, OCD is a very real thing. It's a very real thing that people experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, although I have sort of, I don't want to belittle people's experience. Mm. And I think for me, OCD, whenever I think about it, it's much bigger than
what. Oh, God, yeah. But when we talk about colloquially what is known as a little bit OCD,
yeah,
it's people who want things a certain way and arguably more on the extreme of the scale.
Yes.
So for the program, what do you call him? John? John whatever from Cats Do Countdown and everything. So he did a, he's a comedian.
Okay.
He does, he's on Cats Do Countdown and 8 out of 10 Cats and all those programs. He's a very, very funny guy. And he did a program called A Little Bit OCD,
mm-hmm.
where he talked about how very, very particular he is about things. For example, one of the examples is that he has to have, you know, a tub of margarine or spreadable butter. He has to have that completely smooth. So it, when he was sharing a house with people, mm-hmm. he would be in the middle of the night, he would be downstairs smoothing the butter for yeah. where they've just like taken the knife and put it right in the middle and stuff like that. And I'm sure there was lots of other examples that I can't remember now. So when I'm saying a little bit OCD, I'm not in any way referring to the diagnosis of OCD, which is a serious medical condition, yes. which is related to anxiety and really, really impacts your life in a, mm-hmm. in a bad way. Not at all. But colloquially, when we say a little bit OCD, what we mean is somebody who, like, you know, has to have the dishwasher stacked in an exact particular way yeah. and will not have it any other way. So that so, kind of level.
Yeah, so I would say I'm a little bit compulsive
uh-huh.
where I, like, so for example, I have to put the dishwasher on every day,
uh-huh.
even if it's not full, because I have this belief that there is yuck that's kind of forming if it doesn't get a hot wash every day.
Uh-huh.
Which means then you're frantically running around being like, what can I dishwash today? Not washing machine, only the dishwasher.
All right, okay.
And then the other things would be like where stuff goes in the fridge. Like you're supposed to do like meat in the bottom and then everything else. I just don't like my meat and my veg being that close to each other. So then I move it up to the top.
Put it in the meat fridge.
Yeah,
the
just separately away.
Vegetable fridge will have no meat within it.
And also because of my mother, and I blame her wholeheartedly for this, I need to have a minimum of like 7 to 8 sauces at any one time.
Oh, yeah.
Of any variation. Like yeah. it's just these people who are able to raw dog it on red sauce and nothing else
what?
Is an Come existence on. I don't, they don't want.
That's not a real kind of person. That's a thing.
Lot. It's a lot.
I recently had a clear out and had to get rid of a lot of sauces that I impulse bought and actually then didn't like or use. And I am now in the market for some new good sauces. So if you have any recommendations, I'd be open to that.
Well, I will talk about TikTok later on, but I have seen this real resurgence recently of mustard, particularly yellow mustard.
Mm.
And have had it 3 times this week and would recommend. Mustard.
See, I don't know about that, but I might get myself some piccalilli. Anyway, we've gone off yeah, the sorry. Topic slightly.
Fine.
So, right. So basically, I don't think that there, I definitely, this is a clear, there is nothing wrong with you.
Well, what
if
about
you're
whenever,
on any of those scales?
What about when it's obstructive for other people?
But still, I feel like, you know, the other people could be a bit more laid back about it. Have yes. you got an example of this obstruction?
So the cooking thing is an example where you're doing
so
something.
Mild, though,
doing, I know. But it's just the idea of like, I can't give a valid reason other than I just want it to be this way.
Sure.
And the way I feel that is like in the layer of beneath my skin where I just feel it so intrinsically. And I just need you to do as I'm asking because yeah. I have no other means of explaining the right or wrong of it.
Yeah, well, my mum, who will never listen to this, so I'm safe to say it, she likes things done a particular way.
Oh.
And she doesn't like stuff, other people's things around her house and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I left a Tupperware at her house, the next time I came, she would crack up if I left that Tupperware that she had. Have you got all your things to take away from here? She doesn't want them left there.
No.
Like, I mean, this is my house that I lived in all my life and will probably return to again. I think it's okay if I leave a single Tupperware there, Mum.
Yeah.
And she has a dishwasher, and it's one of these dishwashers that the very top layer is for cutlery, and the cutlery has little slots.
Oh, grooves,
that
yeah.
You, grooves that you put it into, and she has to do it, knives, forks, spoons,
oh,
but probably not in that order. It's yeah, probably yeah, yeah. a different order to that, right? It's a very specific order and they have to be grouped together. And there's part of me wants to come in and just put knives in the middle of the forks and forks and all like that, because I kind of react against that kind of like extreme order, because I think, look, why are we wasting our time? Like, I don't wear pairs of socks. And I'm not about pairing socks or put, you know, except the children have to have pairs of socks for school. Boring. And so I tend to kind of react against that kind of yeah. order, and then she would hate that if I did that to her cutlery. But
In similar kitchen-related idiosyncrasies, I have a thing where I can only put something in the cupboard twice, and if it doesn't want to go in the cupboard, then I put it in by force. So like Tupperware or anything skitey that doesn't like want to stay in, it gets two goes to put in the shelf I put it in, and if it doesn't want to go in, then it gets thrown in and I close the door really abruptly behind it, because my brain goes 1, 2, no, you're done, you yeah. you had your two goes, you don't want to be in there, but I am your master, so you have to be in there.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I say that about being a bit of a chaos demon in terms of, you know, resisting against those things, because it's because I feel like there's bigger things to worry about in the world than how ordered your cutlery is on the yes. top of the thing. And so I say that. However, when Marty, you know, puts things, like if he puts too many bowls in the top of the dishwasher, I'm like, there's lots of bowl space at the bottom. We need the top for glasses. What is going on here?
And inwardly you're like, I can hear my mother.
I know I'm becoming her. But I can't, I'm struggling to think of other ways in which I do this.
Well, see, it's interesting because part of the reason I wanted to talk to you about this is because I had a feeling before bringing this up that you would not be this way.
All right, okay,
and
did you?
I was intrigued around the idea of that kind of, you know, there's bigger things happening in the world mentality.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's just, because I think that's kind of the two camps that people generally fall into, is that idea of they have all these things that they don't really, can't find a reasoning for. And there's a part of it where it kind of governs aspects of their lives because they have to do it this way.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who are just like, so, life goes on, we move on, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I know someone who wraps their toothbrush in tinfoil.
Uh-huh.
Because of an intrinsic belief that germs are killed by tinfoil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know someone else who doesn't allow you to put keys on the coffee table because the keys scratch the coffee table, so the keys have to go on a hook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that kind of thing.
It's just, but it's not, I think the point where I'm talking about this specifically is not where it's like, well, that makes sense. It's more that if you set a set of keys down and they weren't scratching the coffee table, they couldn't stay in the coffee table, they'd have to go on the hook.
I think, the thing is that my way of thinking about this kind of thing in life, right, it's not even just as simple as there's bigger things to think about, right? It's just that once you start realizing that, you know, whenever you flush the toilet, a fecal plume comes up and poo particles go everywhere.
Fecal plume.
That's what it's called, a fecal plume. When you realize that, you start to think, oh, well, the tiles have to go in a cupboard and the thing, and it just escalates, right? Just accept there's poo except particles the fecal everywhere. Plume. Yeah, just accept there's shit literally everywhere. You'll never get away from it. And then, you know, the key scratching the coffee table. The problem that I have with that, right, is I'm quite laid back person. When people meet me, they think, oh, she's so laid back. She's so laid back, she'd fall over. But I'm actually quite tense. Okay.
At all times.
No, I'm both laid back and tense. I'm an enigma wrapped in a onion. Layers or something.
Yes.
Right. No.
Covered in icing.
So I am kind of socially awkward, and I'm good in social situations, but I'm also, I do find them difficult. And one of the things that I found difficult growing up was situations where you had to be really polite, like when you were going into kind of a formal family setting, meeting in-laws or anything like that for the first time. And I find that uncomfortableness that you feel in those settings quite unpleasant. I don't enjoy it. And I find that things like don't put your keys on the coffee table, like a lot of different rules about how you're going to have to be in a certain space because of people's beliefs about scratching tables or, you know, leaving things about makes the place look untidy. I find that that increases my anxiety, makes me more and more uncomfortable. So that's why I'm kind of against those type of things of putting the forks all in a certain order in the thing, because I'm like, if I do this wrong, if I don't put the fork in beside the other fork, then you're going to be annoyed and I've done something wrong and then I'm left, you know. It's just, it feels like it's conflict where we don't need to have conflict in life. And if everybody just was like, do you know what? The cutlery will take care of itself. It's all going to be okay.
But will it, Emma? Will it? I don't think it will. It has to be this way. It has to be just so.
And if the coffee table is like £1,000 or something, then fair enough. Maybe you don't want to get it scratched, but maybe you should put glass on top of it or whatever, you know.
Or maybe,
like,
you know, don't have a coffee table that's £1,000 and then expect your friends to come over and treat it like it's, I don't know, made of fine china.
Yeah, I don't understand the not scrape. Things are just for scraping in my world, but that's probably where I differ from other people.
I say this with a full layer of hypocrisy because I am a massive coaster king. Like, I can't abide the lack of coasters. And I am chasing you around with a coaster to make sure, like, the ring and the fear of the ring on the coffee table. Oh my God. Because it does freak me out. It freaks me out massively.
You have some nice things, though. You see, I never have the nice things to be worried about the ring. Do you see this desk here that we're sitting at recording?
Yes.
So this desk is made out of a door.
Okay.
Like a cabinet door, I think.
Right.
Which has been put onto some wood that Marty, I think, maybe found in the garden. Sort of outside wood.
Okay.
And this desk was made so that he can have a musical keyboard that comes out the bottom, because when he's mixing music, he might want to play things and all stuff like that. Previous to that, it was an old school desk that he had had that was probably from the 70s or maybe earlier. And it was a nice enough desk, but it wasn't like the most beautiful piece of furniture you've ever seen. But you could not set a cup on that desk, but he would move it onto a coaster because it marked... It marked.
Yes.
And I was always a bit like, it doesn't matter though, man. And then he cut the bloody legs off it to try and fit the keyboard under. I was like, what was all that coaster business about? You're going to chop the thing in two?
Because it was important at the time. It had to be just though.
So, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing, there's definitely, I know so many people like this and I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I hate when it stresses me out though.
Yes. I think that's the thing. It's like what you said earlier was quite poignant. That idea of the not abiding by these rules is the part that creates the stress, and it's the part that creates the tension, and it's the part. And I think it's that idea that I do these little things because it makes me feel better. But maybe when it crosses that line into not making you feel better, like you're just doing the rules because you feel compelled to.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Whenever it sort of gets into an area of like obstructing your own life and obstructing your own happiness.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it makes you happy to do your cooking in that particular order and you feel better doing it, you absolutely should. And the problem comes in whenever somebody comes into your life and is like, it's not even like your sister saying, oh, this is craziness. What are you at? It's more somebody coming in and like, say if somebody was to come in and take over what you were doing, like that might really get on your nerves.
I just, as I'm saying these out loud, I keep thinking, oh God, I've got more of these. And then I'm like, God, the list is endless now.
Of the things that you like
just
to do?
Things right, like, okay. I can't wear shoes in the house. It freaks me out. Like, there's something about making, like, I have to go down to the barefoot in the house if at all possible. And if I, even if I'm going outside, like it's an outside, inside, all around the house energy. I don't know why. It's just like a weird claustrophobia that my feet get whenever they feel like they've been in a shoe for too long and then have to be naked and have to be outside and have to be just like roaming free.
Yeah.
Inside,
free
outside.
Free the feet, man. I agree with you. Like,
it's just a lot. It's a lot of like, when you start thinking about like, God, there's a long list here of things that I'm like, you know, ascribing to.
But what if we kind of reframe it? You know, the people who are going to shout at you because you put something in their dishwasher wrong.
Yes,
that's something, I think that's their problem.
Yes.
But in this case, I feel like you could go easier on yourself about those kind of habits and just be like, do you know what? I like things done this way, but, you know, maybe I'll relax a little bit about if they're ever not done that way so that I know that down the line, it's not going to cause me a problem.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think, you know, you should get upset about it.
about the fecal plume.
Well, people, look, guys, just to be honest with you, you shouldn't get upset about the fecal plume. I mean, you can reduce it by closing the toilet every time you flush. So close the toilet lid before you flush.
Oh my goodness,
but most plume. People have poo particles on their toothbrushes. Mm-hmm. Our toothbrushes are in the cupboard, and I try to remember to always close the toilet. But my children are not closing the toilet when they flush. They are
living flipping. In fecal plume.
They're just pooing in the air, pretty
in
much.
The Chernobyl of fecal plume. They are just in that mushroom cloud.
But I mean, I'm a bit germphobic at times as well. Like, you know,
I think COVID did that to us. I think COVID made us much more germy aware. I never used to carry around Antibac or be really aware of what my hands were touching and things.
Yeah.
I hark back to the farm. But I think COVID really kind of made you hyper aware of like what you're bringing into the house and how clean things were. Because I mean, I don't think before COVID you would ever seen things like people washing their fruit and veg in vinegar and, you know, this real kind of like sterilization of things that are happening.
I know, yeah.
And now that's all kind of really come in, and there's this idea of you have to be really mindful of the cleanliness you're bringing into your house. And you're like, well, would we have done it 5 years ago? Would have.
I know, I mean, but I think, you know, that definitely people have to be careful about that, because you're washing away some of the nutrients, and previously we would have got some of our nutrients literally from the soil that was on our fruit and vegetables. So, mm-hmm. you know, just calm down, everybody, because I think when I say I'm a little bit germphobic, like, I think that's why I have a problem with sneezing. You know, my rage that I fly into when people sneeze 3 times.
Or when people don't cover their mouth.
Yeah, or don't cover their mouth. Case in point. because I've had 2 children with various health problems that meant that if they got the cold, it was not always a good thing. In fact, sometimes it was a really bad thing. Mm-hmm. It just made me a bit more kind of like, come on, people.
Yeah.
And I would be a bit more careful about expiration dates and how long a piece of cooked food maybe had been sitting in the fridge, whereas other people I know would be like, it'll probably be fine. Does it smell bad? It's probably fine. If you can't smell the bacteria, you will be fine, which I'm not sure is always the case.
Yeah.
The nose test doesn't always work, I think.
What do you think is the most horrific off food?
I think bacon could kill you. Bacon and chicken could kill you, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, chicken 100%.
Chicken, yeah, definitely, because chicken, you know, chicken becomes pretty much nuclear once it's gone bad. I didn't think that much about bacon, though.
Mm, yeah.
I was thinking more along the lines of milk.
Egg is pretty bad for you too, as well. I just mean in terms of like the level of health problem that you could have. Milk, I think you might throw up, but I don't think you'll necessarily die. I don't know what the conclusion is of that. But
the conclusion is, as long as you're not hurting anybody, and as long as you are not hurting yourself in the process of this, have your idiosyncrasies and try not to be too hard on yourself, because there's nothing wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with you. And I think also try not to be too hard on others, because I think the damage you'll do is more likely to be to relationships if you know, are high up on that scale of needing things done a particular way. Right. Now, moving on. To normal on TikTok.
Forgiveness for everyone and your idiosyncrasies.
Yeah. And you're grand. Just don't worry, you're grand, for God's sake.
So, moving on to TikTok.
Normal on TikTok.
Normal on TikTok. My TikTok this week is, it's a journey.
Okay.
It's a journey. So, full disclosure, I... Past Danny had this brainwave moment one evening. He was on TikTok and he just had this string of great ones. Uh-huh. He pinged them all through, and I've gone into the archives and picked out this one, which I can't find right at this very single moment. But the basic premise is that this guy is in the gym. He's clearly someone who goes to the gym a lot, and he is working out. And then he starts, you know, there's a voiceover comes on, and the voiceover says something along the lines of, you have to work out to protect kids from paedophiles.
So it says, one day you'll be in the street and there'll be
word for word.
And there'll be a paedophile.
Yes.
And you want to be stronger than that paedophile. One day you'll be walking past and a guy will throw a kid into a van, and you need to be strong enough to protect that kid and rescue the kid from the van. All this voiceover is going over while this extremely hench guy.
Oh, he is muscly.
I mean, those shoulders look like, I don't know how his hips can support the weight of that upper body, really, to
like
be honest.
His forehead is bench pressing some serious amount of weight. Yeah. Like, he is doing the work.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is that it's not lost on me that this is obviously trying to be funny and is trying to be...
Do you think it's trying to be funny?
I think they're trying to be lighthearted.
Oh no, Danny, I thought it was totally serious.
I mean, maybe it is. Maybe there is a subsect of people who are in the gym who are like actively fighting the war against paedophilia by going to the gym to fend off paedophiles from children.
Oh, sure. No, so I took it that it was serious, but it's somebody who's like... taken the idea of you should be strong to protect the weak one step further and specified it to be about paedophiles or whatever.
Yes.
And like, I thought he was taking it seriously. Maybe I should look at it again. Is it a joke?
I think I wouldn't look at it again. As I say, with all of these, out of context is probably the best way to be talking about them.
Yeah, sure.
the problem, I think, is that, or the interesting thing about this, I think, is just... it's very strong language to be talking about paedophiles in this way.
Yeah, that's the shock factor comes.
Yes.
You don't expect to hear the word paedophile, I think. That threw me for a loop.
Yes. Casual use of paedophile a couple of times and how you are going to be a warrior against them by going to the gym to fight them off. Because I think also somewhere in that TikTok there was something about what if the paedophile is more muscly than you and can beat you up and then you can't defend the children.
Mm.
And there was just a part of it where I was just... in my mind, I could just see this guy doing so much caffeinated pre-workout that he's sitting there, you know, pushing this weight and then has this like light bulb moment of like, here's how I motivate myself.
Uh-huh.
Paedophilia and stopping it.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
I know.
So much pre-workout. So like just it's like lines and insane amount of pre-workout.
And also because I think it, you know, that idea of that, you're doing this for anything other than to look really good.
Yes.
Is like, we know that that's not really true, guys. You know, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't know if you've watched the new Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary, Arnold. I watched the first episode. It was fascinating. He is like, it's a perfect example of somebody who sets themselves their sights on a goal and then just achieves it through visualizing it and just doing everything that he did was directed towards that goal. And the goal was to get the largest muscles and the best looking muscles and be Mr. Universe and then be Mr. Olympian or something, like repeatedly over a number of years. And it wasn't anything to do with like being able to use those muscles for anything functional. It was to look a certain way.
Yeah, it was purely aesthetic. Well, it's interesting actually because one of the comments underneath that basically said something along the lines of having the biggest muscles doesn't mean that you could defend anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, what about jiu-jitsu? What about boxing? What about any of these other forms of like defense or whatever else? And I think it was just one of these wonderfully sort of the connection of the dots. Mm. And how they had been almost forced together rather than two dots that would ever naturally kind of come beside each other and think, gym, protecting children, conjoined. And I love that idea that they're like, oh, we have a bigger purpose here, folks.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we have a singular goal. Now everyone bench press.
Nobody's buying it is the thing. Well, I mean, I certainly didn't buy it. I was just like, okay, dude,
I just thought
whatever.
It was very strong. It was very strong, but also wonderfully appropriate for TikTok. Like, it just felt like it was right in the wheelhouse of kind of what we'd come to expect.
Well, I mean, the things that I look at on TikTok that are gym related, like, it does get repetitive, I have to say. So I follow a lot of personal trainers and there's quite a good message. Now, this could be my algorithm. I have to preface this by saying this could be my algorithm, but I've got a lot of good messages about, like, you don't have to restrict one type of food, for example. So you don't have to like never eat bread, or, you know, chocolate doesn't have to be the demon. It's basically, you know, calories in, calories out.
Yeah.
Get some good exercise. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't hate yourself, you know, that kind of thing. It's more like it's become much more realistic, because I think the thing of you know, no excuses, drive yourself into the ground. Wasn't that sustainable a message?
Yeah.
And people might have realized that it's not that healthy, especially if you have any kind of disordered eating.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of that kind of content, but I also get, you know, just people lifting, you know, just doing, showing you a whole routine where they're lifting multiple weights and all different things and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe he was just trying to be a wee bit more interesting, like just change things up a bit.
I think it was that definitely the whole purpose of it was around motivation. So maybe he was like, you know what? Other motivation has not worked thus far.
Mm.
Maybe this is the thing that will push me to that next personal best.
Yeah, protecting kids.
Protecting kids.
But actually that lives. Thing you said about that somebody had commented, you know, big muscles are not the best. If Marty was here, he would say that because we've talked about this before, where people that have those enormous muscles under their arms, there might be traps or something, big giant muscles under their arms. Like they're not that mobile, you know. they've got these huge muscles that are sort of getting in the way of them. You know, people that look like they're carrying two TVs.
Yes,
that person's not going to be able to sprint really fast after a paedophile van. We've used the word paedophile so much, and also here's the problem: we can't call our episode
paedophile van.
We can't call it a little bit OCD paedophiles. They'll go, oh, they've gone fully into judgmental land.
No, I'm sorry. If it was anything, it's fecal cloud, colostrum, paedophile van. Like, that is the headline.
Yeah.
I mean, something for review.
Yeah, we'll have to work that out because I don't think we can put, seriously, I don't think we can put paedophile on our title on Spotify. I don't think we should be putting
paedophile van anywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like this was an innocent gym bro who was trying to say something that he thought was unfailingly positive.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it came across as a bit idiotic.
It came across a bit intense.
Yeah.
One of those people who I think if you were beside them in the gym, you'd be like, I'm going to go to this other machine over here. Mm. I think just your energy is a lot.
And your shoulders are really too large for the rest of your frame.
It's a lot.
Oh, not too large. See, that was a bit judgmental. Have whatever size shoulders you want, for God's sake, if it makes you happy. I'm not judging anybody's shoulders. I'm one to talk my shoulders.
You mean your slight frame?
Oh, yeah, only. I'm a bit broad-shouldered. I got inherited broad shoulders from somebody back in the generations, and so I can't really wear blazers.
Oh, why?
I just look like a box because I've got broad shoulders, you see, and blazers often have a little bit of a shoulder padded pad. Shoulder. And so then I just look like a box.
Wow. Things you don't think about.
No. I thought I might have had another joke, but I didn't really. Okay, so.
We just were like, and we're done.
Okay, so is that cat okay?
Is that cat okay?
Hopefully. I mean, to be honest, there's been a lot of stuff going on about cats, and I'll just give you a brief overview. So somebody came
the cat
on.
Cat headlines.
Yeah, cat headlines from my particular area.
Yes.
Somebody came on. Well, there was a cat, very sadly, was hit by a car, and somebody had witnessed it, and they said they saw it and it was awful. Then there was a cat who had been going missing for long periods of time, and the owners thought that it's being taken in by somebody else. Well, they put up another post saying that they had confirmation that that was indeed happening, and they knew which house it was. And there was an implied threat: stop taking our cat in, or, you know, action will be taken. So, you know, cat-wise, it's been pretty good.
To be fair, I've also heard that later, but I have heard that a person I know had a cat that would not leave their house. It wasn't their cat, but it was a cat that came into their home.
Yeah.
And the neighbour came over and was like, can you not let my cat in, please? And they were like, I mean, if the cat wants to come in, the cat can come in. And then the cat would sit outside and call and call and call and call. So we're like, the cat clearly doesn't want to go back to its home house. It wants this new house that its newfound family that's getting itself involved with.
I mean, it's back to what we were talking about last week, that you can't actually really supervise cats. Like, cats are going to cat.
Yeah.
If they're like, I like the look of this house and why can't I lie on that sofa? And also, they have fish in there or whatever.
And then also they'll just good go vibes.
In yeah. And they'll often break in as well. So there's also been some robberies, very sadly, some lost wallets, some found money. The found money post was quite good because it was, I have found an amount of money somewhere in Belfast. Did you lose some money? And if so, how much and where? And so I just thought, like, they were posting it on a local next door. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought it would be, you could get away with narrowing down the area.
Yeah.
If you asked how much, you know, it was.
I found some money in the West.
Yeah.
Actually, just as you were saying that about finding things, we had this hilarious email came around in work about a lost diamond gold ring. And this engagement ring, I think it was, has been lost, and given these very specific details about what this thing was. And then I think it went on to like how much this ring was worth. And we're like, methinks that ring is going to stay lost. Methinks that ring has gathered legs and has decided, no, I have a new home now. I'm going to go be somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay. So the main, sorry, just not to completely ignore you, but. So the difficulty with this post is it kind of blew up.
Oh.
So I found this post and I was like, oh, that's quite an interesting one to talk about. What I think it brings out of Nextdoor is people being bothered by stuff in their neighbourhood and commenting on things that you wouldn't expect them to necessarily.
Okay.
Finding out that there are kind of two types of people in the world, that kind of thing. And obviously there's not only two types of people in the world, but, you know, some issues divide us, right? And this particular issue is mowing the verges on the greenaway. So we have a greenaway that runs through a large part of the city. And I don't know, do they have greenaways in places other than, like, what is that a universal thing?
So what is, when you say greenaway, do you mean like a green walkway?
Yeah, so it's called the Conswater Greenaway.
Right.
Maybe it's just Greenway. We all say Greenaway.
I was like, is a Greenaway a separate thing?
No, we say Greenaway in Northern Ireland, but in Belfast, but we mean Greenway, right?
Yes.
So it's basically a path that intersects the roads and things like that. So you can stay off the roads, you can cycle, you can go from, you know, quite a number of miles only on these paths. You have to cross a couple of roads, like, but you can be on the path most of the time. And either side of them really is like grass verges, trees, things like that. So somebody had posted a picture, like in the dark for whatever reason, of a particular part of the Cumber Greenaway, and they had said, Greenway. And they had
said, in the title, you're going to have to say green hyphen a hyphen way.
And they had said, what is going on with these verges being mowed? It looks a right mess. Are they on strike or something like that, right? So just for people who also don't know this, other piece of information that I happen to know is that there is a campaign called Don't Mow, Let It Grow, which is to stop them mowing the verges, like on motorways and roads and potentially on things like greenways, so that they can be like a wildlife corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you mow down the grass, very little animal life congregates there or can use it as a way to travel or can use it for food. And particularly in times when the things are flowering, you want those things to bring up the bee population and everything like that. So there's another thing called No Mow May, which is particularly in May when all the first flowers are coming out and the bees need a lot of food to get started. You don't mow the things and you let dandelions grow and stuff like that. So we've been driving about, seeing all these things not mowed and thinking, isn't that great? Look at all those dandelions. Why were we mowing stuff for so long?
Mm-hmm.
It saves money. It saves resources. It's good for the environment.
It's good for the planet as well.
It's good for the planet.
I didn't know this.
It's good for the bees.
One of the colleges in Oxford has a beautiful big green in front of it that's been mowed for God, however long there's been colleges in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last year, 2 years, they've decided not to mow this green.
Uh-huh.
And they were doing like a, you know, assessment of what they have there, and something like 15 variations of plants,
yeah,
and 16 different species of various insects and things that, yeah, haven't been there. And then also, which is more startling, the amount of sunlight that was not, that was absorbed and not reflected back up into, yes, the atmosphere to increase sort of the, you know, that small little portion of kind of global warming and everything else.
Oh, 100%.
It's insane.
If you measure the temperature of, during a heat wave,
mm-hmm,
if you measure the temperature of the footpath versus the temperature of the grass, you will see a big, big difference. And but also, if you measure the temperature of a piece of mowed grass and a piece of unmown grass,
mm-hmm,
there is a 10 degree difference between those two bits.
Shocking.
So this is one of the reasons why we've stopped mowing our garden. Instead, we strim part of it down, and some other part of it, we just let it grow, whatever it's going to do. And it's, and you know, it's to increase wildlife, plant life, insect life, but it's also to help contribute to that temperature shift that we want to happen. So I thought we were all on board on this,
mm,
but the responses to this post were very mixed.
Wow, okay.
As what we might expect in next door.
I don't know. I kind of assumed that the Greenaway attracted a certain clientele that were like really on board with the green spaces and beautiful green spaces and lushness and all,
yes,
things of that.
You
ilk.
Would think that, but there does seem to be a two type of people situation going on, in that some people are saying, oh, I thought it's to do with the no mow May thing, you know, that's a good thing. And that, but then a lot of people have come out and said that there was a dispute in the council and between the council and the contractors.
Right.
And around street maintenance, and that's why it had been left to get so overgrown, right? So this is something that somebody heard. It's totally hearsay, because I don't want that to be true, because if that's true, that means that those things are not being mown because of some sort of pay dispute or something like that. And I want it to be because people are finally getting the fucking message that we have to do something, and part of that involves not having perfectly manicured verges on motorways, because,
yeah,
why would that even be an important thing to have?
Yeah.
So a lot of people come and said, oh, it's because of a pay dispute. It's happening in the cemeteries as well. And then this is a lovely, somebody comes on and says, hello, science journalist here. Longer grass is more resilient to hot, dry weather, and it's also better for insects, which are declining at an alarming rate. It's lovely to see some overgrown verges around Belfast at the moment. Something to be proud of. Somebody else has come on and said, do you need to use the grass? Surely the tarmac that runs through it's plenty enough for you. The Greenaway has looked the best it's ever looked. This year has been exceptional. The poem Cut Grass by Philip Larkin springs to mind. Various other people saying, don't mow in this weather. If I think one of the people's arguments was, if you mow it, I don't know if you've noticed, because we've been having some hot weather. There's a lot of yellow grass and dead grass, because,
yeah,
we basically had no rain until the last couple of days when we've had a lot of torrential rain. But other people who are maybe not aware of that have said, is it not a fire hazard? Which, of course, it isn't. With longer grass, it's less likely to catch on fire because it's got more moisture in it than the,
yeah,
dry, short grass. A lot of people come on, needs mowed, looks a mess. People said, no, absolutely don't mow it. This is important for the wildlife. Somebody else said, good for wildlife, but unfortunately in urban areas, good for rats and ticks. And the person who thinks it looks a mess says, there will be eventual fly tippers. So I think it's just that kind of thing of, I was so surprised by the, first of all, I was surprised at anybody posting that in the first place. I thought we were all on the same page. It's basically saying this nature looks too messy and needs to be really manicured, which is just, I suppose it's like, it's an unusual position in my mind.
Yes.
But that's just because it's very different to my position, right? I understand that people are different to me. I do realise that. That's, we wouldn't have a podcast if,
no,
it wasn't the case, you,
no,
know. But I was just so surprised then by the reaction to it. Yes, there was definitely some people going, it's good for insects, we shouldn't be mowing things. But then there was people being like, no, it's messy and they need to get off their arses and mow the thing. And I was surprised by the amount. Since I saved that post to tell you about it, because it was about, I don't know, maybe 12 or 15 responses whenever I took screenshots off it. And then I checked it before we recorded and there was like 60 something comments. Jeez. So the, unfortunately, that just makes it kind of impossible to follow, because I did look at it to try and see, is there some, but it's mostly people just saying the same things over and over again, but arguing about it mm-hmm. and getting more and more pissed off with each other for whatever reason. So that's what's been happening on Nextdoor.
I think it's one of these things where this fear around, so the three things they raised there were about fly tipping and about pests. Like, so there's the rats and the ticks and things. The fly tipping aspect, I mean, I don't think the length of the grass or the length of the verges is going to stop or start fly tipping. I think if people are going to be that lazy and that through other to be dumping stuff, and here I am being judgmental because fly tipping is fundamentally wrong. Like, there is ways of doing
it. I'm taking a stand on fly tipping.
I
am taking,
because I think it's just, it's awful. It ruins natural wildlife. It ruins the countryside. And then people are just dumping their crap wherever they have. I'm in a rant now and I apologise, but here we are. I, in a previous job, worked somewhere where a colleague fly tipped rubbish from work that had fully branded information on it and addresses and everything else into someone's front garden.
Wow.
And just, like, literally he was sitting in his front garden, making a cup of tea, looked out, and there she was in the back of her car and chucked three big black bin bags into his front garden. And
wow.
Then he then promptly put those bin bags in his car and drove down to the local office where I was in with another colleague and was like, what the fuck is this?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fly tipping is fundamentally wrong.
That's interesting, because I was going to say nobody would do that. Like, I thought that was one of those, that was a total red herring of an argument. Like, you know, when people make those kind of arguments, like, for example, recently my mum was looking after my dogs and my younger dog, the problem dog, was doing a lot of barking. So basically my mum has a really big garden and she was going down the garden and she was barking at anything she could bark at, a bird, whatever. She does that. That's what she does. And just because it's a big enough garden, she can go like several hundred yards away mm-hmm. and bark, and mum can call her and she's like, no, I won't be coming into the house. So this was annoying mum, and she said she got complaints from the neighbours and she was over-exaggerating, because I think one person mentioned, if you got a dog, are you looking after a dog? There's a dog barking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was annoyed that my dog was upsetting her. I didn't want that. And it's stressful for her. She's older. I didn't want her to have to deal with the hassle of it. I felt really bad about it. And when I picked the dog up, she was trying to add to this unnecessarily. And she said, you know, I mean, people have to get up for work in the morning. And I was thinking, like, she's not barking at 2 o'clock in the morning, mum. This is an unnecessary argument that you've added on, which isn't really, it's not really the case.
Yeah.
It's not really relevant. When you're going to bed at 11 o'clock, I know she's in her bed.
Yes.
So people are fine. They're not being kept up.
No one is losing sleep.
No one's losing sleep by the dog. You didn't need to add that on. And the fly tipping really felt like that kind of argument.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure if it is going to encourage fly tipping.
Well,
like,
no. I mean, I don't think it will encourage. I think people will fly tip if they want to fly tip,
I
think. And what I would say, though, is that people generally fly tip in places where they think there's not going to be footfall. So it's wee back country roads where there's not going to be anyone near them, and they'll dump mattresses and old toilets.
Or alleyways.
Or alleyways. Yeah. Or places mm-hmm. they think are out of the road and no one will know they're there.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be on the Greenway. And as for rats and ticks, I mean, folks, the rats are here.
It's a bit like the fecal plume, guys.
Yeah, the rats are here.
Rats and ticks
the
are
rats
there
are
already.
Already here. Wherever there's people, there's rats.
Yeah.
And as for the ticks, I mean, to be fair, I have never had a tick on my body, touch wood, and I have been through many's a long grass. So,
well, I haven't had a tick on my body, but the dogs have had numerous ticks that we've had to take them to the vet and be removed, and then they get their tick tablets.
Yes.
And then they don't get it for a while and then whatever. So,
But are any animals harmed in this? Are any animals made off the worst? No. They just get their tick thing and they remove the tick and everyone goes on with their lives.
One of mine and Marty's favourite memes on the internet is a picture of a, you know, long grass meadow and somebody saying, "Oh, I just would love to go on a picnic date and lie in the long grass," and somebody else has commented, "Did a tick write this?"
It's so true.
So yeah, I mean, once again, Nextdoor proves that you can get yourself annoyed about anything if you try hard enough. Or sometimes you don't have to try at all, apparently.
I don't think these people are trying very hard at all.
Yeah.
I think it comes to them very easily.
But yeah, cats are still not okay as a side
note. Not terrible. The cat conglomerate has come forward to say that they are functioning. As Marty told us earlier, they're not even really scared of cars anymore. They just lie in front of him as he tries to drive down laneways and wait to be moved by hand. Yeah. So I think all is well.
My niece Hannah has been cat sitting a cat. Lovely, beautiful little cat called Coco. And she's quite a young cat, but she is a killer. So she's brought in a couple of birds. She's not quite killing them is the problem. So she's bringing them in. And then Hannah got up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet and there was just a bird in the sink. Very confused bird in the bathroom sink. She sent me a video of a mouse desperately running around the stairs and the cat periodically catching the mouse and then letting it go. I don't know whether that mouse was killed or chased out of the house or whatever, but you know, we don't know if the mouse is okay. A dead bird on her pillow, I think.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, it shows that Coco really likes Hannah. Also, either that or Coco believes that Hannah is really incapable of fending for herself and therefore needs a lot of help.
Yeah.
And is like, "Here, have another bird.
You don't seem to be eating enough.
You're taking this last one. I'll go get maybe a mouse this time and see if that makes a difference." Just while we're on the topic of wildlife, I have a magpie that is trying to get into my living room. And I say that not at all exaggerating. A magpie will come and sit on my windowsill and tap its beak on the window and then look at me like, "Why are you not letting me in?" I was like, "Because, sir, you are a magpie and you will steal all my shiny things."
Well, it's because of your shiny things.
I was like, no, you're not coming in here. And then I thought, the more I thought about it, the more I realised that the mother magpie brought it down to the windowsill and showed it the way. And I was like, there is a parliament of magpies that are just like, there's things in this house and we should get together as a group and try and make some sort of concerted effort to extract some of these things.
This is the only downside from your lovely aesthetic of rich colours, colours and gold.
Extract magpies. Oh, dear.
So do you want to do the summary, your best at
Let's do the summary. So we began with fecal plume. No, we didn't, sorry. We began with people, namely me, doing things just so. And coming in various varies of differences in this, but through lots of conversation, we realised that as long as you're not hurting yourself or anybody else, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
We then transferred on to bodybuilding to protect the children and how paedophilia is wrong, obviously, but I think
part of this I can't believe we had to come out against paedophilia. We've been so judgmental on this
such a stance. Paedophilia is wrong. Is you going to the gym going to have a direct consequence against it? No.
Unlikely.
Yeah. But you know what? Everyone join in the good fight and maybe there'll be something good come out the far end of it. And three was about, I feel like we talked about ticks and lice and things.
Is that cat okay? I know.
The green way. We talked about the green way. And in particular, the mowing or not mowing of the verges.
Mm.
And I think, judgmentally, we are very pro-no-mow. Mm-hmm. We are pro-no-mow.
Just leave the grass alone. You'll get used to it. I know you've been used to these manicured lawns for a long time now, but they were sort of pointless, really. They came about as a class-based thing where people were trying to, people were trying to emulate the upper classes and these lawns that they had. And so then it became a thing, like a status symbol. And it's nonsense and it's work. And it doesn't really look better, guys. Just, you know, calm your jets about the bloody lawns. And we need some more wildness.
Yeah, let it grow.
Let it grow. Same goes for pubes, normally.
And on that note, Emma, there is nothing wrong with you.
And there's nothing wrong with you either, Danny.
Till next time, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
What a